Greetings to all of you. It's good to be here. Good to see you all. Why don't we start with a word of prayer? Lord, we come to you this morning realizing and seeing and feeling our need. We need you. I need you, Lord. I need your Spirit to speak through me and to guide my thoughts, my lips. Pray that's what you would do this morning, that these next 20 minutes or so would be an inspiration and encouragement. Just bless our time, bless our hearts, our minds. Just pray that you would be with us. Use my lips, these words that I've prepared here. I pray that you would just use them to encourage, to inspire. And I pray that you would put life into them. Commit it into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I will continue my series on one anothering that I started, I think, in spring or whenever it was. Going through the New Testament and looking at the one another's found there, I trust that they have been a blessing. They have been to me as I studied them and looked at them and meditated on them. As is my custom, I will recap a little bit the previous message. Last time I spoke on Psalms 133. Where the psalmist said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil on Aaron's head. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon. And then I went into explaining what all that means. That oil was pleasant, that oil was precious, and that oil was rare. So too is unity amongst brethren. It is pleasant, it is precious, it is rare. Unity amongst brethren is like the dew on Mount Hermon. The dew fertilized the whole area. It was nourishment to the surrounding area. There were benefits that came from the dew on Mount Hermon. So too, unity within a church, within a brotherhood, will have benefits. There is nourishment that comes to the surrounding area. There is nourishment that comes to the children. There is nourishment that comes to everybody involved. And not only that, but also outside these walls, there is nourishment. There are benefits when a church has unity. I guess one of the benefits of doing a recap is sometimes you think of stuff afterwards that you didn't think of when you had the message. One of the things I thought of, if the psalmist David said that unity is like oil, it is like dew, I tried to think of illustrations. What is disunity like? And for some reason or another, I thought of a man standing on one foot. When an individual stands on one foot, I likened that to a church that has no unity. There is no stability. You cannot engage in warfare when you're standing on one foot. And I think soon after I came up with this illustration, I figured I'd put it to a test. And I told one of my sons to come over and wrestle with me. He but had to nudge me, and I tumbled over. I simply could not compete. The story changes when my second foot went down. The story changes. So disunity is like a man standing on one foot. There is no alternative to unity. You can't substitute something. You can't substitute for unity. If you don't have it, you can't decide, okay, let's do this to make up for that. If you do not have unity, you do not have unity. You have no stability. Unity is foundational. From there, a church can grow and branch out. It is vital. Unity, fragile, handle with prayer. And then we also looked at some verses on like-minded, speaking the same judgment and submission. So today we will continue. Today I want to look at exhort one another. This is part 5, exhort one another, an exhortation to exhortation. I want to give a few lessons and definitions concerning the Greek on this word. The word exhort found in the New Testament comes from the Greek word parakaleo. Parakaleo is the Greek word. In the Strong's, exhort means to call near, invite, invoke by imploration, exhortation, or consolation, beseech, call for, comfort, desire, entreat, pray. In Webster's 1828, exhort is to encourage, to embolden, to cheer, to advise, to excite or to give strength, spirit, or courage, to incite by words or advice, to animate or urge by arguments to a good deed or to any laudable conduct or course of action, to advise, to warn, to caution, to incite or stimulate to exertion. So the word parakaleo, the Greek, as we know, the New Testament was written in Greek. It wasn't the language that Jesus spoke. We can, I think, safely conclude that Jesus knew 3 languages, or 4, for sure, 3. But the spoken language of that time was Aramaic. Aramaic, it is still spoken today by Armenian groups. But that was the spoken language. When the apostles wrote their letters, they wanted to reach a broader audience. So Greek was chosen. And that's why we have Greek. The New Testament was written in Greek. So the word parakaleo appears 113 times in the New Testament. But the word exhort or exhorting only appears 20 times. So the Greek word was used in a much broader way. 113 times we find it in the New Testament, but only 20 times the word exhort is found, if you can follow my reasoning. I will read a few verses on where the word parakaleo was used, but exhort was not used, just so you get a broader understanding of the word parakaleo. Mark 1:40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Beseeching is that word. Mark 5, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Prayed is that word. Luke 7, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Besought is the word parakaleo. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Entreated is the word parakaleo. 1 Corinthians, now I beseech you, brethren. We spoke on this verse last time. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye perfectly join together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now I beseech. Beseech is that word. 1 Thessalonians, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort is that word. I think we will speak on that next time. 1 Timothy 5, rebuke not an elder, senior, but entreat him as a father. Entreat is that word. So the word parakaleo, it had a more broader meaning, and depending how it was used, it was translated into English entreat, comfort, beseech, besought, prayed, and words like that. And there's many more. So the Greek word had a broader meaning. Within a healthy one anothering relationship, there is exhortation. There will be exhortation in a one anothering, in a healthy one anothering relationship. If you want to open your Bibles, we'll look at a few verses in Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, verses 7 and onward. I will read. Wherein, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So he's speaking of something, the children of Israel, as they were wandering around in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So he is saying, in the verses above, he is saying, what happened to the children of Israel. And then the last two verses, he is saying, to prevent this, brothers, to prevent this from happening to you, exhort one another daily while it is called today. I like what the Amplified does to some verses. This is one of them. I will read it in the Amplified. But instead, warn, admonish, urge, and encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened into settled rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin, by the fraudulence, the trickery, which the delusive glamour of his sin may play on him. Exhort one another daily. He says daily. This is once again an indication that one anothering is local. To exhort daily indicates that there is involvement in each other's lives. To exhort one another daily is an indication that there is rubbing of shoulders. There is togetherness. There is community. There is one anothering. I cannot exhort someone whom I never see. This is written indicating that there is a rubbing of shoulders, there is togetherness, there is involvement in each other's lives, there is community, there is one anothering that is happening. Why should we exhort? Why should we exhort? He wrote here, this is what happened to the children of Israel. And he says in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you that evil heart that I just wrote about in departing from the living God. These people mentioned in the previous verses, you are not exempt. This can happen to you. Within each of us, there is the potential to depart from the living God. Within each of us, there is the potential to backslide. Within each of us, there is the potential to fall into sin. Within each of us, there is the potential to grow cold. The writer knew this. He used the children of Israel as an example. The wicked things they did, the provocations they did, how they tested the Most High God, how they grumbled and complained. And the writer says, take heed, watch out, be careful. This can happen to you. None of us are exempt. We are made of the same stuff. Because that potential is there, we are to exhort one another onward. We are to encourage one another. We are to speak into each other's lives. We are to admonish one another, not tomorrow, for tomorrow never comes. We are to do these things today, lest in any of us we get an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Within a one-anothering process, within a tumbling process, I used the tumbler as an example, my first message, one-anothering as a tumbler, moving around, the stones tumbling. Within a one-anothering process, a tumbling process, there is exhortation. There is watching over one another. There is love. There is speaking into each other's lives. There is a chipping away at each other's rough spots. There is encouraging. There is protection in a one-anothering process. There is protection in the tumbler. This is one-anothering. A few pages over, also in Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10:24, is another verse. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Once again, I love what the Amplified does to these verses. The Amplified has the reputation of just wringing it out or wiping it clean or whatever you want to call it, putzing it out, some say. Here's what the Amplified says, verse 24. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Verse 25, Amplified. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Collective and corporate worship is a vital part of one's spiritual life and spiritual well-being. To remove assembling together from one's life, one is going against a biblical principle, a principle that is there for your own good and for your own spiritual well-being. To remove assembling together, one anothering takes a big hit. Your own spiritual well-being takes a hit if you remove assembling together from your life, and you are opening a door for the enemy, for deception, for discouragement. Why do we assemble, you may ask? What is the point? We are instructed to assemble, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why? We assemble to worship. We do it to be admonished. We do it to be encouraged. We do it to be exhorted. We assemble together to be urged onward. We assemble together to be stirred up, to be stimulated. We assemble together to hear the word of God preached and proclaimed. That's why we assemble together. You do not remove assembling together from your life. You are playing with fire. He says an interesting phrase as he closes the verses. As ye see the day approaching, he said. Amplified says it, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. We are 1 week closer to the Lord's return than we were last week. We should be admonishing more faithfully because the day is approaching. It is coming. We should be encouraging more faithfully because the day is approaching. We should be exhorting more faithfully because that day it's approaching. We should be urging onward. We should be stirring each other up. We should be speaking into each other's lives even more faithfully than last week because that day is approaching. All these happen when we are involved in each other's lives, when there is togetherness, when we are involved in one another's lives, when we see each other, when we meet, and when we assemble together. So who does the exhorting, you may ask? We all do. The verse says, exhort one another. We all exhort one another. Having said that, in 2 Timothy, elders are given instruction by Paul to exhort. Preach the word, he said. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Elders are given the charge to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, even over the pulpit if need be. We are all to exhort one another. This is part of the one anothering process. So as we wrap up, I have some questions that we can all ask ourselves. Are we exhortable? Are we open for people to speak into our lives? Sometimes when people give their testimony or believers' testimony or baptism or membership, they would often say, if anyone sees something in my life, come and speak to me. And that is a good thing to say, but how do we react when someone does that? Are we hurt? Are we offended? Do we ignore that person then for a week or a month? Are we approachable? Are we carrying ourselves in such a way as to say, I'm open for input, I'm needy? Or do we have walls up? Or are we saying, leave me alone, just by the way we conduct ourselves, by the way we carry ourselves? Are we saying, keep your distance, I'm fine, you don't need to speak into my life? Are we exhortable? Why should we exhort? Exhortation is needed because we are imperfect. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need it. We make mistakes. We fail. We fall. We slip. We need each other to make it through. We live in a fallen world. We have an enemy. That's why we exhort one another, because we are imperfect human beings. We are needy. There is no exhortation needed in heaven. There is no one anothering needed in heaven. There is no need to pray for one another in heaven. John, the disciple of love, will not be having sermons on love one another in heaven. We will not be told to comfort one another in heaven or to bear one another's burdens. Paul will not have a message in heaven about submitting one to another. There is no exhortation needed in heaven to be like-minded, to practice hospitality. Once you are removed from the tumbler and transported into glory, you no longer need the tumbler. There is no need to preach a series on one anothering in heaven. The one anotherings in the New Testament are for the here and now, because we need it here and now. They are for the church. They are for the church age. We need it. We are needy human beings. We need others to speak into our lives. We need others to bump into us and smooth our rough spots. We need exhortation because we are still on this earth. So in closing, I will read these verses again. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. May we be found exhorting one another, because we all need it. God bless you.